Hello there. This is the Psychology Report, and this is Dr. Alan Hedberg. I'd like to address a major problem in America today with our teenagers. These kids are dear to me. Today, in my clinical practice as a psychologist, I saw a couple teenagers, two of them exactly, both of them experiencing depression. Both of them having some significant interpersonal problems related to their depression and are experiencing some loss of progress in school. Now, that's just a typical day in the life of a psychologist. You know, two or three kids are seen per day. I see a lot of other people, but at least of teenagers. And it's a common theme, this kind of depression. So I'd like to address that a little bit today and see how what you think and see what your experience is in this particular area. But you know, America today has a declining health of our teenagers. They are in declining health. They're experiencing numerous physical and emotional health problems that their parents or that people like me, an older generation, did not have to face. There was a commission formed several years ago in the National Association of State Boards of Education and the American Medical Association. And at the end of their report, they reported this: never before in history has one generation of American teenagers been less healthy, less cared for, and less prepared for life than their parents were at the same age. Can you imagine that? We have a group of kids that are in trouble. And when you compare them to their parents, huge difference in their readiness to face life, in their ability to face life, even at this age. So we are in trouble as a nation. Unlike previous generations, I think, today's teens, their problems are rooted not in the physical health or physical illnesses, if you will. Their problems are rooted in behavior. That is, problems with alcohol consumption, drug use, sexual freedom, physical and personal violence, just to name a few. But you know, this has been added to or contributed to by other factors. That's what kids have done to themselves, or that's what they do to themselves. But what about these? The high divorce rate that affects them and with which they have to live. Full-time employment of both parents. You know, we have found in other research that when both parents work 80 hours a week total, their kids are in deep trouble. When both parents work 60 hours a week totally, their kids are in moderate to mild trouble. And obviously, for parents that work only 40 hours a week total, kids tend to do much better and thrive. So full-time employment by their parents is certainly a major factor. And a host of family lifestyles also affect our children. Living with two parents of the same sex, living in homes where one is divorced and the other one's not, homes where somebody lives in, come and go, different people there, different times, single families, single mothers, single fathers, living with grandparents, all of various combinations, they all have their toll on our kids. So we have this double factor. What kids do to themselves through their drug and alcohol use, as an example, or their sexual freedom expressions, and what the family does to them, what the parents do to them, by the virtue of their lifestyle. That's why our teens are in trouble today. That's why their health is so weak compared to their parents at the same age. Let's look at some of the facts. Every year, 1 million teenage girls, that's almost 1 in 10, by the way, become pregnant. 2.5 million teenagers contract sexually transmitted diseases. Every year, violence is also a part of the lives of teenagers, and 135,000 of these students teenagers bring guns to school every day. And among the 15 to 19-year-old African Americans, homicide is the leading cause of death. That's ages 15 to 19. And since 1968, the teenage suicide rate has doubled and then doubled again. It was 10%. It's gone up to 20%, and now it's about 25% of females having either committed suicide or attempted suicide. But look at some of the issues related to depression in teenagers. Now, depression is a disorder of mood, disorder of energy. It's a disorder of interest and pleasure. Those are lacking. Those are minimal in the life of a teenager who is depressed. A depressed child is one who is not getting adequate reinforcement, not getting adequate accommodation in his life, acclimation, attention, consideration, approval, praise, reward, just not getting that. So he's deprived of the things that give strength to an individual, and that is his own personal abilities. Now, these teenagers also experience a sense of helplessness. You know, whatever they do, they can't make it. Whatever they do, they try hard, but it doesn't make a difference. And when you feel helpless, and when you live a life where you are not getting adequate reward and acceptance and acclaim from others, you get depressed. Anybody would get depressed. In a study published in the Journal of Pediatrics this year, they evaluated 350,000 Americans from 2005 to 2014. So just take that about 10-year period of time and determined how many suffered from episodes of depression each year. And they found that the prevalence rate among teenagers rose from 8.7% in 2005 to 11.3% in 2014. That is a 37% increase in depression among our kids, our teenage kids. It's on the rise, to be sure. About 2.8 million adolescents report, just self-report, that they are having major depression. That was just in the year 2015. And we estimate that this number has already reached up into the 3 million by 2016 and now into 2017. Teens are depressed. Teenagers are having major, major problems with mood and feeling accepted and feeling important and feeling valued, you know, by others in the community and others in their home and others in their church and others in their school. Drugs and alcohol have taken their toll as well. More than half of the high school seniors become drunk once a month. Half. Alcohol-related accidents are the leading cause of death among teenagers. Did you know that? So alcohol and then various forms of drugs have its major toll on the life of our kids. 3.5 million kids 12 to 17 years old have tried marijuana, and 1 million are regular users. Well, 500,000 have now gone on into cocaine because marijuana is a gateway drug. It opens the door to many drugs. Now that number has increased because now we have a number of states as of this year that have now opened the door to legalized marijuana for medical purposes, recreational purposes, or both. And that only means that more kids are using marijuana than ever before in history. And we know that when kids use marijuana, just as one drug, just marijuana, 3 times a week, for a month, they have brain damage. They have evidence of physical brain damage just in the use of marijuana 3 times a week for a period of a month. Well, we know that our kids and teenagers who are using marijuana use it much more than that. So they are living with brain damage. They're going to school in the morning trying to learn with brain damage. They're crippled. They're working with less capability than they were born with, and that they had maybe just 5 years earlier. IQ rates go down. Motivation levels go down. Interest levels go down. Learning rates go down. The school is now educating a population of kids that's fighting themselves, let alone what other issues might be going on in their life. Well, what I've just said paints a bleak picture in the lives of millions of our teens. But you know, it doesn't stop there. Unhealthy teenagers will have a future negative consequence on our country besides on themselves. They may be unable to attain an education that's needed and required for achievement in our culture, in our country, in our society. The cost of any associated social breakdowns, such as crime and broken families and drug abuse, will be great, be enormous. And states are now seeing that have now invited marijuana into their state. They're seeing that the cost of this social breakdown is already starting to mount, let alone the cost of crime and the cost of automobile accidents and the healthcare costs and all those, all gone up. The demand on our welfare system will also be great with these kids due to their unemployment, due to their lack of achievement, due to their lack of graduation. They'll find themselves in the unemployment lines of America, and that's going to be a drain on our country. Now, what do? Well, obviously, teens have to reconnect with their parents, or I will say it the other way as well. Parents need to reconnect with their teens. First of all, it's the parents' responsibility. Secondly, it's the school's responsibility. And third, it's the responsibility of our community, our churches, our civic leaders, neighbors, friends, extended family members, and so on. Whatever happens to our teens will depend upon the network of support that they have from their immediate family. And when that's weak, they're at high risk. So family life, morals, all need to be strengthened to help our kids. Parents need to reconsider how much time they're out of the home for work purposes. Maybe that needs to be cut down during the time that the children are minors. Maybe work a little less. Maybe go without some things for the sake of your kids. Sacrifice for your kids so that they don't have to look back and say, you didn't provide. Maybe our schools need to address these issues a little bit more. Not that our curriculum should now become a sociological system of education, of dealing with all these problems, but maybe 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there and 10 minutes here and 1 minute or 2 minutes here and there by teachers just focusing on these kind of issues and reminding kids to stay clean, to stay sober, and to stay focused and stay in school. And maybe these teachers need to have some conversations with parents too and reminding them of their responsibility. It's not a matter of teaching a class or teaching a course of subjects of some type or teaching a curriculum on drugs or all that, although that is helpful and may be important at certain points in our health education of our kids. But it's that minute that the teacher takes and just interjects a story, interjects a word of advice, interjects a bit of history, a bit of news item from the newspaper, just to bring to the kids' attention that they're at risk and they need to shape up and they need to live a life which is honorable and respectful with integrity. Teachers have power and they don't use it. They can use it and then they'll give them even more power. We need kids in therapy. We need parents to step forward into play and say, look, my kid's going into therapy and I'm going to be there with him. and I'm going to have family therapy, and I'm going to sit down with my kids and the therapist, and we're going to talk together. You know, sometimes it's just a matter of maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 sessions. I mean, that's all it is. And just enough to get refocused and get that family working again in the same direction. Well, get into therapy. Don't ignore that. If you have doubt, if you wonder if your kid might benefit from therapy, yes, the answer is yes, get into therapy. Get a counselor, get a therapist. You know, it's not a question of drugs, that is medication, if you will. That doesn't do the job. It's the question of counseling, of sitting down and talking together as parent and child, and therapist and child, and therapist and parent. When I see families and I see kids, I do spend about a half hour with a kid. But then I spend 20 minutes or a half hour with the parents, because it's a network. It's an interchange. It's a total life experience that goes on in the home. And you have to recognize that. Parents need help. Kids need help. And therapists are in a strong position to bring that help to the focus point of what is needed in that family. Well, this has been the Psychology Report. Hope that's helpful, and hope that it stimulates you to kind of look at your own family, look at the families in your extended life, and those beyond your own immediate home. Look at the families in your community, in your neighborhood, in your church, and see what you can do to be of help. Step forward and recommend some things that people can do, and get help where help is needed. Be an agent of change. Be an agent of encouragement. Be an agent of support. Be an agent of advice. Be an agent of wisdom. So this has been the Psychology Report. Thanks for joining me.